This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Let's welcome to the program author Stephen Marshall. His new book is Wolves in Sheep's Clothing, The New Liberal Menace in America. Good afternoon, Stephen.
Hey, Coy, how you doing?
I'm doing very good. Thanks for... we got a bit of an echo there.
Yeah,
thanks.
I was going to say, I hope it's okay.
Yeah, we'll just deal with it. Now, you are an award-winning filmmaker as well. You are a founder of the Guerrilla News Network, which is GNN.TV. Tell folks what that is first.
Well, yeah, GNN, basically, you know, I'm a music video director, and so are my partners. We all write also, and we just wanted to create a site which would do news in a more cool way, you know, with using a lot of the music and graphics which kids have come used to, but also bring politics to a more sort of mainstream level. So that's what we do.
Now, your new book is Wolves in Sheep's Clothing, The New Liberal Menace in America. Let's start briefly with just broad strokes. What is this book about? The parts that I have read, it's a very fun book. It's a big book. You've obviously spent a lot of time on it. What is this about? When people pick it up, what are they going to find?
Well, basically, I mean, obviously coming from the liberal or left side, you know, I guess what I'm really doing is looking at those people, those real A-list liberals, the guys that publish books and sell millions of copies, who really came out of that 60s era, who, you know, fought in the streets, risked their lives in many ways to fight against the Vietnam War, and then kind of came down on the side of Bush and the administration when we came to go to Iraq. And I really wanted to look at the psychology behind that switch and wonder if it wasn't something that we were as a nation facing, if liberalism itself was kind of in a really big flux and transformation.
I remember I interviewed Callie Lawson of Adbusters,
right.
He told me in an interview, he said, look, the left is dead. Let's wake up to that fact. And we need to, the old left is gone. We need to jump over the dead body of the left if we're going to get anywhere in this country.
Totally. Well, that is in many ways what I think is felt. And, you know, this is something Christopher Hitchens told me. I think he's sort of one of the pinnacle interviews I do in the first chapter. I go over to Britain at this, there's a really famous book festival there, which probably isn't well known in America, but it's called the Hay Book Festival. And it's like, you know, Bill Clinton called it the Woodstock of the mind. And literally every major author is there. And I was and he's the star of it, usually drunk and telling people to F off in the crowd. It's an amazing spectacle. Thousands of people, literally. And I went to see him, and he sort of, you know, we know each other, and usually we're quite fine talking, but when I told him I was doing a book on the death of liberalism, he just didn't want to talk to me. And so my whole first chapter is hanging out in the green room with, like, the editors of The Economist and The Guardian, and then finally hooking up with Hitchens. And he says that very thing. He says, you know, the left or liberals have become conservative. They're defending the wrong values, and I can't live with it anymore, and you need to get out before it's too late, you know. So it's cool, but it's also, I think, tragic, because at the same time, you know, Hitchens has become a millionaire. He has a lot to defend, a lot to protect in this country, as many people do, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when you lose that sort of desire to fight any sort of state-sponsored war because you are unconscious of your impulses, then I think it's very menacing and dangerous, and that's one of the themes of my book.
My guest is Stephen Marshall. The new book is Wolves in Sheep's Clothing, The New Liberal Menace in America. Christopher Hitchens was just one of many folks that you spoke with in the book, Gore Vidal, David Horowitz. Gore Vidal, where did you meet him? What was he like? And tell us what you learned from him.
Well, Vidal, you know, one of my favorite authors as a young person. I mean, obviously fictionally. And then, you know, there's a very famous scene I actually talk about in my book when he went against William F. Buckley Jr., the famous, like, conservative, who was really the first arch conservative of the Vietnam era. And they did these series of debates during the Democratic National Convention in the 60s and 68. And when all the riots broke out, and, you know, and at one point they almost got in a fist fight on air because Gore called Buckley a Nazi and a fascist, and Buckley called him a faggot, and it was like, for ABC at the time, it was like better than O'Reilly. And but I went to see Vidal because, you know, he's the most famous proponent of this idea that there's really only one political party in America, and it's just got two wings, the wings of property. And I went to see him, and I went to see him in his house in L.A. in this very big old mansion, and his lover had just died, and he was incredibly sad. You know, it was a very sad time for him, but he very graciously let me see him. And he just, you know, he talked about America in this way of almost like of also something that had died, a friend that had died. And at one point, he sort of quotes this warning that Washington gives us, which is, you know, that if we ever become too obsessed with other nations, that we become almost enslaved by them, that we should focus on ourselves. And in a way, I saw this, he himself has become obsessed with the death of America and thus enslaved by it as well. And it was very, in a way, part of my book is like, you know, it's definitely a political book, but I'm much more interested in the writing sort of, you know, Hunter S. Thompson and Tom Wolfe and even, you know, Truman Capote, in the sense that you got to make things into a journey for people today. And in many ways, I think Gore Vidal is one of those great journeys as opposed to really a political point.
Stephen Marshall is my guest, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Stephen, you have worked in, you know, you've worked all over the world, and your journeys and your work has also taken you to the war zone in Iraq. Tell us about your journeys in Iraq and the soldiers that you have met with there and what you learned in that part of the world.
Well, yeah, quite. I mean, that's a whole thing. I could go on for an hour, but we'll focus on the book, I guess. You know, I was one of the key meetings I had in Iraq, which really, I think, set me off on the trail of this book. I was working on a film then called Battleground, 21 Days on the Empire's Edge, which was on Showtime, and it was sort of it did pretty well for a small Iraq movie. And one of the soldiers that was featured in the film was this tank commander named Sergeant Hollis, and he was like this black guy and very sort of articulate, but you know, driving tanks around in one of the most dangerous parts of the front line, which was Samarra. And after he came back from a very dangerous mission, I had been embedded with him. We started to talk to him about, you know, the war, and asking him what the reasons for the war was, and he just kind of blurted out, literally, just, you know, as if it was nothing. He said, "Well, it's about globalization. It's about, you know, we have to open markets up to American goods and to get cheap labor sources. And, you know, American foreign policy people knew that Iraq was the best place to begin in the Middle East, and so we took over Iraq." And I was like, "Are you kidding?" I mean, literally, it could have been Noam Chomsky. And I was like, "Are you?" He goes, "Yeah, but you know, that's what I know that because I mean, I'm out here living and dying for it. I better know what I'm fighting for. It's one thing for people in the U.S. to talk about patriot, you know, democracy, but we're fighting for America here. And America is money. It's capitalism. And so when I heard that, I came back to America, and that's when I started talking to liberals who had been in support of the war, and they would never say the same thing. And I was like, where's the disconnect? Why can't they? In fact, they would deny it at all costs because they didn't want to be associated with that vision. And I just, that's what led me into the path of like looking at their psychology. So I was like, if you guys can't be honest about it, then we're not having an authentic debate in America. We're having one side, the conservatives, who are extremely honest about what they want, or at least, you know, well, not honest, but they were definitely determined, and the liberals who are kind of going along with them but not admitting why.
And these were liberals who support the war, and yet they weren't saying what the soldiers in the field who were dying on the front lines were saying.
No, and that's where, you know, and of course, no, of course, everyone's entitled to their opinion. And, you know, writers like Paul Berman, who is, you know, New York Times bestselling author, very famous 60s radical, had written Terror and Liberalism. His view, it's all about ideology. And when I brought up the idea of money, he just thought I was being cynical. And I was like, you know, do you think that the country spent $300 billion to spread democracy? And he just kind of didn't have an answer. He's like, well, that's, you know, there's various reasons. When I asked David Horowitz, you know, who is the famous former communist who became a radical conservative, you know, he said, look, Stephen, the reality is we always have to paint a romantic picture. It's very difficult to speak highly of a system which makes losers resentful. That was his thing about capitalism. It was like, it's very difficult to speak well about a system that makes losers resentful. And that's, you know, and he's right. You know, Bush is not going to tell us that he's fighting for capitalism, but he will tell us he's spreading democracy and liberal values. And we have to know that liberal values today don't mean so much taking care of everyone in society. They mean free trade, expansion of capital markets, and really they mean the expansion of democracy, which lets America into domestic politics so it can get its way.
And this is the legacy. Here we are 400 years on since 1607. This is the very legacy of Jamestown, which, of course, preceded Plymouth, was all about commercialization. It was all about markets. That's why they came to Virginia originally, was to look for gold and open up markets.
And they were trying to escape from the mercantile system that Britain had imposed, which really forced the colonies to suck up their goods and let them buy things cheaply. I mean, Americans who study history know this, and we've become that same state. I mean, I don't want to get into the minutia of this, but if people study the trade policies of America, we act like that imperial force today, and yet we sort of talk about this. Great. Are you hearing the sirens? I'm in New York.
Yeah.
but, you know, and this is why, you know, one of the stories I tell in the book is that, you know, in 2004, you know, when America was playing its national soccer game, this national team was playing soccer in Mexico, as the team took the field, the Mexican soccer fans were chanting Osama. You know, and people could say, oh, that's just, you know, they're sore losers. They, you know, there's this, that, and the other thing. I had one guy from MSNBC actually tried to tell me that it's because America has bad press in Mexico. No, it's because America is loathed today. And we have to look at why and not just say, it's a bunch of jihadists. It's in fact, people around the world.
And and to continue that thought, one of the things that I don't like most is that somebody in America, like a Dan Rather, will say, well, you know, they hate us because we have freedom, and they just don't like freedom, which I think is ridiculous. But the thing about it is that he doesn't seem to get is there are people in the world who define freedom differently. There are people in the world who define freedom as having your priest run the government.
Right. No, I mean, exactly. I mean, you know, the counterpoint to that, they hate us because of our freedom, is the Bill Maher line, which I love, which is they hate us because we don't know why they hate us. And I always love that. And that's another premise of my book. I mean, freedom, just like liberalism, just like conservatism, means nothing at all. I mean, what we have to do is we have to get back to, and this is sort of, you know, let's get to the positive side of things here. You know, what do we have to do? We have to really say, how can events like 9/11, Katrina, you know, a war against Iran, you know, how did these events trigger not reaction but internal conversation? Because that's what the whole point of any great trauma is. I mean, America was traumatized after 9/11. Liberals and conservatives and people across the spectrum felt deeply wounded and wanted to fight back and protect themselves, and that's totally understandable. But the deeper and more mature response would have been to ask why this happened, and not just ask why in a superficial way so we could just engineer our response, but ask why because we really want to be part of a global community. And that is what liberalism was supposed to be about. Liberalism was supposed to be about looking at the society as an organism, as something that has a holistic vibe, and that needs to be taken care of on every level, or we all suffer. And that is, and that was why there was arts. I mean, some of the great poets were liberals. Even John F. Kennedy, who had his own very imperial tendencies, always talked about the need for the heart to be part of politics. And that's what we have to return to. And what I'm worried about is some of these greatest voices from the '60s, who really represented that humanist liberalism, have really sold out, and they occupy space on the balance, and they speak for liberalism. And if they don't step out of the way or at least cross the line, then we're losing out in that debate.
Stephen Marshall is an award-winning filmmaker and author. His new book is Wolves in Sheep's Clothing, The New Liberal Menace in America. Stephen, help us with this conversation. What is it that the left is not saying? What is it on that part of the conversation from the left that's not coming forward that you would like to hear?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, you know, I always hate, I mean, you know, as a young person, I think it's so much more important to think about. I mean, let me answer. I mean, I think what we're not hearing right now is we're not talking specifically about foreign policy. I mean, yes, right now we're wiggling around talking about withdrawing from Iraq or not. And again, like, but it's what I've been talking about for the last sort of 10 minutes. Like, we aren't talking about how the World Bank and the World Trade Organization and the IMF are organs which basically enact U.S. policy. Because this stuff is stuff that puts you to sleep. I mean, that's the problem. It's like, you know, this is not stem cell research or abortion or invading foreign countries, which really keeps the news going. You know, you want to sell advertising on CNN, you don't talk about the World Trade Organization unless there's protesters being beaten up. But let me tell you, you know, there's a great film that your listeners should check out, especially the university students. It's called Life in Debt, and it's a film about what happened to Jamaica. You know, a country that we all know, it's the country of Bob Marley and a place you can go and hang out and have a good vacation. But this country was, you know, had faced one of those, you know, very famous IMF restructuring loans. And it forced the Prime Minister, Michael Manley, to do a bunch of stuff that essentially led to the milk in the country, like the 100 years of domestic farmers growing milk, having milk farms, not being able to compete against dried milk from other countries. So that it was cheaper for Jamaicans to buy dried milk from America, from Britain, and Holland, than to buy milk from their own cows. So they've lost their milk industry. And it's, you know, it sounds like, you know, whatever, but, you know, just imagine if milk farmers across America suddenly couldn't sell their own milk to their own people. That's a foundational quality of the republic. And if those people could have, like, and if you watch them on this film and see how sad and mad they are, if they could have flown planes into a building called the World Trade Center, they would have. Now, we don't talk about this type of liberalism because it just doesn't make good copy or news. But I would say that is a discussion we have to have. How are we exerting ourselves in the world on those levels? And what are we going to do when the world finally looks over and looks back in anger and says, we will not help you. We won't have anything to do with you. You're on your own. Because I'm telling you something. I spent the last year in the Arab world and in the Islamic world, you know, all over, from Iran to Indonesia, Pakistan, and Lebanon. And, you know, we will not win. You know, like, we will not win. It's one-third of the population. So that's what I'm calling for, is like, people have to be educated enough to talk about these issues, and they have to take their leaders and make them accountable.
Stephen Marshall is an award-winning filmmaker and author. His new book is Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. The last question, Stephen, is what do you say to the folks? There's a lot of people out there, and I'm sure there's many listening, who believe, you know, all of this is fine and dandy, but at the end of the day, there are people out there who want to see America burn. There are people who want to see, you know, nuclear mushroom clouds in every major city in America, and we have to do whatever we have to do to prevent those people from realizing their dreams.
Well, they're right. You do have to do everything you need to prevent those people from realizing their dream. But the way to do that is not by fighting them head-to-head, well, in proxy skirmishes like in Iraq and wherever else we can find them. The way to do that is to get control or get control of our message, get control of our policy, so that the moderate middle class and the moderates, period, in those countries can have a voice. Right now, there are like hundreds of millions of people who want to stand up to Al-Qaeda, but they're terrified, not only because of the radicals are dangerous, but because they actually, frankly, don't totally disagree with all the things that Al-Qaeda calls for. They know that there's a profound level of injustice, whether it's from the bombing of Iraq from 1991 to the year 2000 by the Clinton administration, which killed hundreds of thousands of children, or the way that we enact trade policies or bring dictators to power in countries like Pakistan. I mean, they know this stuff. We don't, because we're sleeping and watching The Simpsons, but, like, you know, they do. And if we want to win them over, and to beat the radicals, who are dangerous, we have to start having an internal conversation, and we're not.
Stephen Marshall is founder of the Guerrilla News Network online at GNN.TV. He's an award-winning filmmaker and author of Wolves in Sheep's Clothing, The New Liberal Menace in America. Stephen, thanks for joining us.
No problem, Coy.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at sevillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show can be heard every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WINA. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at sevillepodcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, why not check out our site for hours and hours of archives of Coy's show? You'll also find other radio programs, arts features, public affairs coverage, and more.